Well, again, good morning and welcome to LifePoint Church. My name is Andrew and I get to serve as the student pastor here. And this morning we are wrapping up a series that we've been in for the last 4 weeks, studying Jesus's encounter with a woman at the well in John chapter 4. So if you have a Bible with you today or maybe a Bible app on your phone, would you join me? Take it out and open to John chapter 4. So we're going to be... As you can tell, the vibes are pretty high today around here at LifePoint. We're excited. I hope you're excited. Today is a day of celebration for us. As you saw, we're celebrating our graduating seniors. We're celebrating Jocelyn taking a step of obedience towards global mission. And just personally, today is a day of celebration for my family and I, because 5 years ago today, I became the student pastor here at LifePoint. And it has been incredible. Thank you. And in just a couple of weeks, I'll complete my 15th year in student ministry, which I think means I'm officially like an OG. I don't know how long they're going to let me do this for, but I love it. And I'm so grateful for what I get to do here at LifePoint. And I don't know about you, but whenever I kind of arrive at these milestone moments in my life, I don't just like to celebrate them. I like to reflect on them, right? To go back to the beginning of the story and think about all the moments at the beginning or all the moments along the way that have led us to being where we are, led me to being where I am today. And in my family, in our house, my wife has made that really easy for us because she loves to make these little photo albums. We have a bunch of these in our house. They're just pictures from our camera reels, but each one tries to capture a specific season of our lives. So this one, it says, "Hello, Ohio." And it tries to capture when we left Arizona, everything that we had known at that point, and we moved to Ohio to work here and be a part of the ministry here at LifePoint now 5 years ago. And so every so often I love to take out this book and just flip through and see these pictures. I'm reminded of all the funny moments along the way when I see the Ohio sign here, and it reminds me of how when we left Phoenix, it was 101 degrees. And when we got here, it was 37 degrees. And I was like, can we turn this around? We're going to die. Our little kids in the car that we put them in for 30 hours. You can imagine how fun that was. I flip through and I love not just to remember like the moments, but the feelings that we had as we took this step of obedience. I find that for me, if I don't take time to reflect on what has been, I'll never really appreciate these moments, the milestone moments, for what they are. And I think that today, as we approach the Gospel of John, I think that's the mindset that we have to have. The Gospel of John is John's own reflection on his journey with Jesus. John, the author, his own reflection on his journey with Jesus as he approached the end of his life. He tells us what the purpose of the writing of the book is in John chapter 20, verse 30, which says this: "Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." And you believe that he's the Son of God, and by believing that you'd have life in his name. So John sits down towards the end of his life and he says, man, I want to tell them the story of Jesus. And there are so many stories that I could tell them. But with that purpose of writing in mind, that we would believe in Jesus and that we would experience life in his name, John says, I know the one. I have to tell them the story of the woman that Jesus encountered at the well. And so he tells us the story. The story is so special, as we said every week of the series, because this story is Jesus's longest one-on-one encounter with anyone all throughout the Gospels. And John has written this story in a way that you and I, us visual people, can imagine ourselves standing right there at the well with Jesus. Jesus, who has gone out of his way, the not traditional way. He's changed his direction so that he could encounter this woman at the well. The woman who has become an outcast from her society. She's been rejected by her people because of her past, what she's done. But Jesus meets her there at the well. John has written this story so that you and I could see pieces of our story in the woman's story. And along the way, as we've walked through this over the last 4 weeks, we've seen quite a few things together. We've seen that Jesus moves towards us before we ever move. We've seen that Jesus satisfies our soul like nothing else will ever be able to satisfy it. And we've seen that Jesus invites us into real and honest relationship with him. So today, as we wrap the story, as we relive this story with John, I think that it's meant to fire us up in our faith. Like, when you leave today, I think that you should be more excited than when you came in today. We should be excited to get to relive this story with John. It's the kind of teaching from him, the kind of writing that reminds us of why we fell in love with Jesus in the first place. It reminds us of what cultivates this desire in us to want to have a relationship with him. So far in the story, we've been studying, we've learned a lot about God's heart towards us, his people. But today we're gonna just see three responses, three things that happen because of an encounter with Jesus. We're gonna see, what did all this mean? What happened next as the story concludes? This is the kind of teaching from John that shifts our perspective. He said, man, I'm writing so that you can experience life in Jesus' name. And today, as we open this text, he's gonna show us what that life looks like. So that's my hope, that today would be a day maybe that you would find freedom, the kind of freedom he's talking about, the kind of purpose that he's gonna talk about, the kind of life that he's talking about in Jesus' name. And we're gonna do that today by going back to verse 25. We read this last week, John chapter 4, verse 25, but I just want to remind us of where we left off in the story, okay? So we'll pick up in verse 25. Here's what it says. So the woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. And when he comes, he will tell us all things. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. I who speak to you am the Messiah. I who speak to you am the Christ. Then jump down into verse 28. This is her response. So the woman left her water jar and went away into town and said to the people. So Jesus reveals to this woman that he is the long-awaited Messiah, that he is the Christ. And it says that she gets so excited by this declaration from Jesus that she leaves her water jar at the well. She doesn't take it with her. And she just runs straight back into town to find the people. The main purpose of her mission now left at the well, right now in her rear view mirror, the water. Because the first thing that's transformed by an encounter with Jesus is our priorities, right? The water, it was still important. It was still important. She's still gonna have to come back and get it at some point. But Jesus had already taught her over the course of this story that her physical need for water was not as important as her spiritual need for a savior, and she took that to heart, right? Then we keep going. We'll just read that again. Verse 28, it says, so the woman left her water jar and went away into town and said to the people, come see a man who told me all that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? All that I ever did. Listen, if you haven't been here, you just have to see how incredible this transformation is. 22 verses ago, that's it. 22 verses ago, this woman was so overwhelmed by the grief and the shame and the guilt or the regret that she felt because of what she had done, she oriented her entire life around it. She scheduled out her entire day to see as few people as possible because she could not stand any more weight from the judgment that people were going to cast on her if they saw her. But she has an encounter with Jesus in 22 verses. What happens? She runs into town, and who or what is she looking for? You see it? People, right? She goes looking for people, the same people that she had been running from, she is now running towards. And when she finds those people, better yet, this is my favorite part of the story. When she finds those people, it says, what does she lead the conversation with? You see it? Her pain becomes her testimony. Watch this miracle that Jesus does. She's overwhelmed by the weight of shame and guilt. 22 verses later, her greatest pain becomes nothing more than an icebreaker. She just leads the conversation with it. Because the second thing that's transformed by an encounter with Jesus is our relationship with our pain. She says, come and see the man who told me everything that I've ever done wrong. think that this is an area where our culture gets this wrong about the church. I think typically the narrative around church is that this is a place that by coming here and sitting where you're sitting or even pulling it up to watch online, like if you want to be part of a church community, this is going to be a place where you have to swallow and hide the guilt and the shame. Because if the people that you're sitting next to right now, the people maybe that are sitting in your row this morning, if they just knew what you had done, if they knew what you had been through, if they knew what you used to struggle with or what you are currently struggling with, if they knew what you had done or what had been done to you, they wouldn't want you here anymore. The narrative is, right, like if you don't want to feel shame, just don't go to church. But that's exactly the opposite of what an encounter with Jesus leads to. And by the way, this is not earth-shattering. This is not breaking news. This pattern has been consistent all the way through the Bible. All the way back at the beginning, Genesis chapter 3, it says that Adam and Eve sin. And in Genesis chapter 3, verse 8, it says, full of shame, they rush into hiding. They're trying to get away. Full of shame, they rush into hiding. Just like she's rushed away from people, they're trying to rush away from God. That's exactly what Satan wants them to do. That's exactly what the enemy wants them to do. Because if he can make you isolate yourself in your shame, then he can make himself the only voice that you'll listen to. And just like God in the garden invites them out of hiding and restores their dignity, one encounter with Jesus changes this woman's entire relationship with her pain. It frees her from the burden of guilt and shame that she's lived with. Her greatest testimony, her greatest pain becomes her greatest testimony. Her greatest pain, her source of pain becomes her greatest weapon for the kingdom of God. Transforms her priorities. He transforms her relationship with her pain. But he doesn't stop there. Read one more time. Back in verse 28, here's what it says. So the woman left her water jar. She went away into the town and she said to the people, come see a man who told me all I ever did. Could this be the Christ? Could this be the Christ? Come, see, could this be the Christ? It's like without even realizing it, she has stumbled onto what Jesus would later teach us is the universal calling or the universal purpose of all of our lives. The Great Commission, as Kyle just referenced a couple minutes ago, that after we make the decision to follow Jesus, that the highest purpose of all of our lives is that we would go and tell other people how to meet the Jesus that we've met. Right, that we would tell other people how they can believe in Jesus and how they can experience life in his name. That was John's story. John encountered Jesus, and now what is he doing? Tangibly, physically, like he's writing the story so that his story can become our story, so that we can believe in Jesus, so that we can experience life in his name. But it's not just John's story, it's the woman's story. The woman encounters Jesus, and she goes to find people and says, you've got to come meet Jesus. And it's not just her story, it's our story too. Because the third thing that's transformed by an encounter with Jesus is our purpose, right? She's still gonna have to go get water. She's still gonna have to make her trip to the well. She forgot it there. She's gonna have to come back and get it, or she left it there on purpose, whatever it is. She's still gonna have to make her trips into town. She's still gonna have to do her job. She's still gonna have to live her daily life. But now all of that is wrapped in this higher purpose. Come, see, is this the Christ? I think that although that's not the main point of this passage, I do think that you and I can appreciate her just simple approach, practical, accessible approach to everyday evangelism, right? Like, do you notice what she didn't do? It doesn't say that she met Jesus and then she went to a class on how to be better at evangelism. It doesn't say that she spent years studying apologetics before she started sharing her faith. It doesn't say that she read the Bible twice through before she started sharing her faith. It doesn't say that she went to seminary. All of those things are great things, good things. If you could do them, you should do them. But she doesn't let that delay her obedience. She just goes to people, simplest testimony of all time. Come and see this man that I met. And once you meet him, ask yourself this question, could this be the Christ? She doesn't know a lot about Jesus, but she still takes that step of obedience and she shares what she knows. So just in just a few verses that we've read, we kind of get to this picture of what life with Jesus was meant to look like, right? In just this one encounter, he transforms her priorities and her relationship with her pain. He transforms her purpose, and that is, this excites us. It fires us up. Like, this is the reason why we do this thing. It's the reason why we fell in love with Jesus in the first place. This is the life that we want for ourselves, that we want for our kids, the life that we want for our grandkids. This is awesome. But then the twist happens. Because how many of us know that sometimes how we start things is not how we finish them, right? You ever started something and forgotten about it? You got an unfinished project that's been sitting in your basement for 3 years? Like, you ever start something and not finish it? I think that this story, John chapter 4, represents to me what a lot of our lives look like right after we met Jesus. But over time, that initial on fire for the Lord is an expression we use, or that initial burst of zeal fades. And instead of something that we are actively experiencing, this John 4 life, it goes to being something that's just a picture in a photo album. Just a moment, just a season of our lives. Our fire for the Lord fades. Because we drift. As someone who is, confession time, as someone who is down bad with ADHD, like, I got it, I got all of it. My doctor, when she diagnosed me with ADHD, she laughed. She was like, man, you're cooked. She did laugh. She didn't say I was cooked. She did laugh. I got it. And as someone who's got it, has got ADHD, I understand the drift. Like, every day of my life is setting out to accomplish a mission and then accomplishing something totally different than what I set out to do. If there was a Hall of Fame, I would be in it for this, for the drift right here. I'll give you an example. A couple of years ago, we were getting busy. We were getting ready for student camp. There's a lot going on. By the way, I'm going to time out here and talk about student camp for a second. Not as an ADHD rabbit trail. I'm just going to take a moment here. Student camp, I should tell you about that. In 15 years of doing student ministry now, 15 years of working and watching thousands of kids grow up, I can confidently tell you this, that there is not a single thing that we do, a single event that puts kids and students in a position to have an encounter with Jesus like this woman had an encounter with Jesus. There's not a single thing that we do that puts kids and students in a position to take next steps in their faith like this woman took next steps in her faith than camp. Student camp, kids camp, the whole deal. Right, and so right now, we are basically, for student camp, we're basically sold out. Maybe there are one or two spots available, but I do know that we still do have some spots for kids camp available. And so if you're in the room today, you're a kid or a student, and you're interested in going to camp, or you're the parent of a student and you'd be interested in having them go to camp, all you need to do is right now, you could take out your phone and you could text the word camp to 75642, and we'll just text you back a link so that you can get information about how and why camp and when camp and all the things. Student camp is incredible. Camps are incredible. But back to the story, they are a lot of work, a ton of work, probably the most work of anything we do. It's a couple weeks, we're getting ready, we're busy. It's the kind of busy at work where you don't even feel like you have time for lunch, you know what I'm saying? Like, we just can't even eat. But I was starving. It's like, I gotta go get some food. So I get in my car, I drive to the closest restaurant, which from here I'm pretty sure is Wendy's. And so I got in my car, I started up, I drove to Wendy's, I get to the drive-thru, and I'm kind of like half in, half out mentally, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm physically there, but I'm not all mentally there. I order my food, you know, I pull around, you pay for your food, I pick up your food. I drove all the way back to the church. I turn off my car, I open the door to get out of my car, and I reach over to grab my food, and there is nothing there. There is not like I accidentally ate it all on the way, because I do that on purpose. You know what I'm saying? Like, there is nothing there. There's no food. There's no bag. There's no receipt. There's no drink. And all of a sudden I start to panic. Did I just have a vision? Like, did I hallucinate? Like, I am 99% sure that I just drove my car to Wendy's and there is nothing here in the car. What happened? Well, I'm still hungry, so I got to drive back. And I drive back to Wendy's. I'm like, I gotta sit through the drive-thru again? Like, I'm pretty sure I paid for this. So I parked my car. I did the walk of shame into the Wendy's, and there's 50 people in line. I wait through all 50 people because I don't know if I paid for food or not. I got up there and I asked, you know, top five embarrassing moments of my life. I look at the cashier, he's like, how can I help you? And I said, hey, I'm pretty sure that I left my food here. And he's like, what? And without missing a beat, the lady who's working the drive-through window turns around, looks at me and goes, that was you? What? Keep your voice down, lady. I can't. What are you talking about? She runs over to me at the counter. It's like she had been waiting for me her whole life. She runs back over to me and she explains exactly what I'm explaining to you. She's like, yeah, you were here. Check this out. You pulled up to the drive-thru and you ordered your food. You said, thanks. You pulled around to the first window. You paid for your food. You said, thanks. Then you pulled around to the second window. And when you tried to hand her your food, you just smiled and drove away. I was like, that's the truth. So what am I? And I didn't remember any of that. I drove all the way to the church, turned on my car. I was like, I had no recollection of what was happening. This is how down bad I was. We're in the middle of the lunch rush at Wendy's. You know, there's 100 people here trying to get food. And she stops. You're laughing at me. I'm laughing at this story. She's not laughing. She looks at me dead in the face and says, are you okay? Like, she is concerned with my well-being. Like, I'm down bad. It happens every day to me. I drift. I set out with a purpose and I forget my purpose halfway along the journey. And I think that same thing happens. I know it does. That same thing happens in our relationship with God. And it's not supposed to be that way. Watch, just look back at the story in verse 27. In verse 27, we get the disciples' perspective on this encounter that Jesus has. Here's what it says. Just then, his disciples came back. They marveled that he was talking with a woman, but no one said, watch that, but no one said, why do you seek? Or why are you talking with her? Jump down to verse 31. It says, meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you do not know about. So the disciples said to one another, has someone brought him something to eat? So this exchange that we just read between Jesus and the disciples becomes a mirror of the exact same conversation that Jesus just had with the woman, right? The woman comes to Jesus, she's looking for water. Jesus explains to her, you need physical water or you'll die, but your need for physical water is not as important as your spiritual need for a savior. The woman takes that to heart, she runs into town. Now, the disciples are here, they've been in town, they come back and they have food. Jesus, eat. Jesus, you gotta eat. He says, listen, your need for food is not as important as your spiritual need for a savior. He reshifts their priorities. In verse 27, he says, hey, you just got back and there was a woman here and you could have asked about her, but no one asked about her. No one said, how's she doing? How can we pray for her? What is she looking for? How can we help her? No one cared. All we cared about was the food. He challenges their priorities, but he doesn't stop there. Then go back, look at verse 34. It says, Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Do you not say there are yet 4 months, then comes the harvest? Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. Jesus says, listen, food is important. But what sustains me more than food is obedience to the work that God has called me to. Jesus challenges their priorities. He challenges their purpose. And as I'm reading that, it feels like Jesus is a little more frustrated with the disciples than he is with the woman. Why is that? Well, because the disciples should have known this. They're not hearing this for the first time. How do we know that? We'll just go back to John chapter 1. In John chapter 1, the disciples had their own encounter with Jesus that led to a similar outcome. In John chapter 1, verse 41, the disciple Andrew goes and he meets Jesus. And it says that he goes back, finds members of his family, and brings them all back to meet Jesus. That sound familiar? Then just a few verses later, John chapter 1, verse 46, it says the disciple Philip, he meets Jesus. He goes back, he finds more people. And he says the same thing that she did. He says, come. see this guy. You've got to come and see the Messiah. So watch this. They had the same encounter with Jesus that she had, which led then to the same response, same transformation that she had. But now they've drifted back into misplaced priorities and a misplaced purpose. And that's not the way that it was supposed to be. See, this brings up a tension that all of us will have to wrestle with if we're living in relationship with Jesus. Everybody who's watching online right now, everybody who's sitting in the room, whether you've been following Jesus for 1 week or for 6 months or for 5 years or for 60 years, it's all the same. It's all the same tension. You will never accidentally drift towards Jesus. We always drift away from him. You will never accidentally, unintentionally end up stronger in your relationship with God. It does not happen by accident. We don't drift to him. Like the disciples, we drift away. So the question is this morning for everybody in here, everybody who's watching online, the question is simple. How's your relationship with Jesus? How you doing? Think about it for a second. But be fair. Don't think of an answer that reflects 6 months ago how you were doing. Don't think of an answer that represents 5 years ago how you were doing, or 10 years ago, or even 2 weeks ago. How are you doing with Jesus today? Are you like the woman in the story? Maybe over the course of this series, you've encountered Jesus for the first time and you're ready to live and experience that freedom and that change of priorities and that difference of relationship with your pain and your purpose. Like, man, you're so excited. Maybe today is your day to make the decision to follow Jesus because you want to begin to walk with him. Is that where you are? Is that how your relationship with Jesus is? Or maybe you're in here today and you're living out of that transformation. You are on fire for the Lord. You're excited to do the thing. You're experiencing the John 4 life that Jesus talks about. That's what you're experiencing. Or today, as you sit in here, do you more identify with the disciples? The disciples, they had been walking with Jesus, but they had drifted back. Maybe they had lost some of their passion. They had drifted back into misplaced priorities, misplaced purpose. How would you know that that's you? Well, I mean, you could just ask yourself, has your life gone back to being more about your priorities than God's? Right? The woman is still gonna have to go live her life. She's still gonna have to do the daily thing. The disciples are still gonna have to make trips into town to get food. So have your trips into town, your daily life, gone back to being more about building your kingdom than it has building his? How's your relationship with Jesus doing? Either way, no matter what group you're in, the solution is the same. We're grateful that Jesus has provided a simple solution. And the solution is this, that we encounter Jesus at the well. Jesus is the well that leads to eternal life, that we encounter Jesus. Watch what happened. Everybody encountered Jesus and they had the same result. The woman, she comes to the well and she encounters Jesus and everything about her life changes. The disciples who've gone off track unintentionally, they've just naturally been victims of the drift that happens. They come back, they encounter Jesus and he just gets them right back on track. Says he literally tells them, pick up your eyes. There is a woman here who needs something and we could have helped her. Pick up your eyes. There's a bunch of people from the town coming out to meet us here. He gets them right back on track. So the question is, what are you gonna do today, tomorrow, this week to encounter Jesus fresh and new? What are you gonna do through worship or through prayer or through coming back to the place that he is, his word, to encounter him again? Are you praying, Lord, would you return to me the joy of my salvation? That's my hope for all of us today. Everybody, listen. The there are not meant to be. It was never, your relationship with Jesus was never meant to have the glory days. The days where you used to be locked in on Jesus, you used to be about Jesus's kingdom and his stuff. They were never meant to be the good old days of a relationship with Jesus that are now just a chapter in the photo album that represent just a season of your life. Instead, Jesus over and over again calls our purpose back to his purpose. He calls us back to experience him again, to come to the well, to believe in him and experience life in his name. So that's our prayer for you this morning, that you would know Jesus well and that you would make him well known. Let me pray for us. And then we're going to respond in worship. And then make sure you stick around, because in just a couple of minutes, Pastor Dean is gonna come back out and he's gonna talk about some exciting new things that are happening at LifePoint starting today. He's excited to share those with you. So let me pray. Father, thank you that you love us. Thank you that in the midst of our drifting, you're always right here. That we never run out of times when you will just pull us back in and encounter us in new ways. Jesus, thank you that in you we get to experience new priorities that lead to life that we could have never dreamed of. We get a new relationship with our pain that felt like a prison for so long. God, thank you that in you we get a purpose that is beyond our wildest dreams. So today, Holy Spirit, we're asking that you would reveal to us where we're at in our relationship with you, that we would have the courage to respond, that we wouldn't give a fake answer, we wouldn't lie to ourselves, oh, it's as good as it's ever been, when in our heart we know that our priorities show that we've drifted. Lord, would you meet us here today? Would you encounter us here at the well this morning? Lord, we love you. I love you so much. We love you so much. Pray these things in your name. Amen.